Prime Minister, thank you for your introduction. Thank you for being such a fine host for the OPEC summit. I appreciate APEC summit. You know.
It's just so bad and keeps getting worse. The evil killer clown was all over Australia, wasn't he? Huh? Interestingly, the press that was in Bush's group, the American press, who are cleared and checked out and given shots and having their false teeth taken away from them so they can't bite Bush. I mean, they just really put it. These guys weren't even allowed in to a speech he gave about OPEC in Austria the other day. It's just insane. He's a very confused man. In addition to being a megalomaniac and a bona fide sociopath with borderline personality disorder and a propensity toward mass murder, yesterday he told an Australian, the Australian foreign minister, that the U.S. were kicking ass in Iraq. Kicking ass. Is that a favorite Bush saying? Remember when Geraldine Ferraro and Pappy Bush were in the debate back in, when was it, 88, for the 88 election, and the microphone caught Pappy Bush coming off saying, oh, he kicked a little ass there, didn't we? What is it about these preppy thugs? No, you're not kicking ass. You're murdering a lot of people. You're sending a lot of people into oblivion, but you're not kicking ass. Oh, well. Then again, maybe he didn't know who he was speaking with because he apparently thought he was at an OPEC summit in Austria. No, that's Austrian troops. No, wait a minute, Australian. Oh, never mind. And once again, couldn't find his way off the stage. Did you? I'm sure you've seen the video. If you haven't, it's at YouTube. It's all over the place. Just another entry into the Bush stupid files. The files are getting enormous, aren't they? Now, the other thing today, are you sick of seeing Bin Laden in his new beard? Oh, my God! He sounds like a Marxist. He doesn't sound like a Islamic radical, I'm going to come over there and eat your children and kill you. As a matter of fact, Prairie 2 wrote, hey, Mike, since the Bush crime family has replaced all the professionals at the CIA with Republican Party hacks, it runs just as good as FEMA. The Bin Laden tape is such an amateur job that nobody should be fooled. The GOP talking point on that is that Bin Laden has been living in disguise and is wearing a fake beard for the video. The text seems to be a Marxist rant that apparently the former GOP staffers in charge at the agency thought was the same as an Islamist rant. Sounds the same as when one of them tries to pass as a liberal. Prairie 2 goes on, Adel Darwish, a political editor of Middle East Magazine, told Al Jazeera that he had doubts about the authenticity of the tape, and he said, quote, there is no close-up on Bin Laden, the beard is thick and black, and then there are large segments where the image is a still, end quote. Prairie 2 says after the Bush crime family announced it had the video, all the websites that usually carry statements from Al-Qaeda went down, and according to the Associated Press, this never happened before. No explanation how Washington got the tape and nobody else did. Oh, Jesus. Aren't you sick of it? Aren't you sick of the charade? Oh, my God. There sat Bin somebody talking about the mortgage meltdown in America. Yeah! Talking about corporate predation. Talking about, what else is he talking about? Talking about Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Yeah. Man. I almost wet my pants when I heard him talking about the mortgage meltdown here in the U.S. That's, my God. I think Prairie 2 is onto something. You know, your typical right-winger doesn't know the difference between an Islamist rant and the Boy Scout oath. Has no idea. So they make Bin Laden, this Bin Laden anyway, talk about It sounded like Prairie Two said, like he was giving some kind of a Marxist anti-capitalist rant. Oh, and he touched on global warming. Oh, my God. Oh, well. A couple of announcements here. Our very own producer, or I'm sorry, engineer, co-producer, associate producer, Ian Huff, is hosting a radio program. First time ever, he's going to be starting tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Phoenix time on KPHX. It is the Equality Arizona program, and he's got the mayor of Phoenix for the show. Jesus, I can't get a county commissioner. This guy gets the mayor of Phoenix, fifth largest city in America. The election for a new Phoenix mayor is Tuesday, September the 11th. Uh-oh, be careful, Ian. So if you're in the Phoenix area, tune in tomorrow to KPHX, your flagship station for Nova M, and check out our chief engineer as he enters into the wacky world of actually doing a program. And if you don't live in the Phoenix area, tune in anyway. Just go to KPHX web stream. And then send Ian an email and just, you know, give him some kind of a email, thumbs up or thumbs down. Does Ian live after the program tomorrow, or does he die? It's up to you people. That's Ian, our chief engineer, and one of our friends over at TV News Lies, Jesse, who writes the real good editorials over there. He will be speaking about 9/11 media deception related to the events of September 11, 2001, at the Cooper Union event tomorrow that we were invited to and just couldn't make it. But you can watch the webcast if you're not going to be there live. Just go to webcast.ny911truth.org. webcast.ny911truth.org. A lot of folks are going to be there, names that you know, including Webster Tarpley and Jim Fetzer and who else here? Well, Jesse. So anyway, check it out tomorrow. It's at 3 p.m. or about 3 p.m. I guess you could you can probably tune in early. The whole thing's going to be on webcast.ny911truth.org. People in the extended Nova M. Malloy program family doing radio. And if you have an event you'd like us to mention, is your PTA holding a bake sale? Is your Fireman's Auxiliary, Ladies Auxiliary holding a sew-in? Let us know. We'll be happy to talk about it here on the Malloy program. Now let's go back to our phones for swap meet. Thank you for being such a fine host here at the OPEC Summit. Hey, OPEC Summit. What was interesting, the reports from the speech that he gave, is that the audience, the Aussies, sat there, and all the applause lines that are usually built into this twerp's speeches fell flat. Nobody applauded. There was not a bit of applause until the very end, and then there was a polite smattering of... And then right after that, he was so nonplussed by that he tried to... He walked toward what would be stage right or stage left, and there was a drop-off there. And for some unknown reason, the people on the stage stopped him before he hit the drop-off and said, No! Oi, Mr. President! I know, they don't talk that way. What else we got? We have several items here tonight, and then we're going to do a lot of phone calls tonight, so you might want to... get online. 800-989-1480 is the number. All right, stick around. Miles to go before we sleep. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
When you can't find the friend, still got the radio. The radio. Listen to the radio. The radio.
come on me. I got a 0018 Martin guitar in the backseat of the car. Hey, I am leaving Mississippi with the radio on. Cause we can't find a friend, still got the radio. When you can't find a friend, still got the radio.
John Howard accurately noted when he went to thank the Austrian troops there last year, we're giving this young democracy the chance.
No, 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 no. Hitler is from Austria. John Howard is from Australia. Can you say Australia, George? Mounted police. We told you the other night about CBS Morning Show and CBS security and the cops in, where was it, Kansas City, who had decided that non-obnoxious anti-war posters were just not allowed on their television show, their public park, their public airwaves. No, 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 no. So now this is in D.C., a mounted police charged in to break up an outdoor press conference, a demonstration against the war in Iraq yesterday, arresting three people. And the three people that were arrested, well, I'll get to that in a second. According to the French news agency, AFP, the police suppressed the press conference. In the middle of the speeches, they grabbed the podium that was erected in a park in front of the White House, Lafayette Park, you know, where people go. It was a very small gathering. There were only four or five protesters there, and Brian Becker, who's a spokesperson, national organizer for the ANSWER, Anti-War Coalition, and 20 journalists. It was a press conference. And once they started, according to Becker, mounted police charged the media present to disperse them. According to the French news agency, the charge caused a peaceful crowd of some 20 journalists and four or five protesters to scatter in terror. No one appeared to have been hurt. Now, here are the people who were arrested. Tina Richards, the mother of a Marine who did two tours of duty in Iraq. Okay? Tina Richards, whose son did, as a Marine, two tours of duty in Iraq. Sorry, Tina, that doesn't mean a thing to the Bush crime family. Adam Kokesh, the leader of the Iraq Veterans Against the War group. Adam, we know you're a veteran. Means nothing. Nothing, Adam. And attorney Ian Thompson, who's an organizer for ANSWER in Los Angeles. Ian, you're an organizer for a God-hating, I don't know, anti-Christian, hate-filled, yada, 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 yada. So all three of you are going to jail. Now, what were they doing there? Well, a couple of things. First of all, ANSWER is trying to rally support for an anti-war demonstration in D.C. that's due to take place on September 15th. That's right around the time that the apple-polishing toady General David Petraeus is going to make his appearance in D.C. to tell the psychopathic Republicans and the cowering, spineless Democrats that everything is going swimmingly and he needs more time, at which point the Democrats will give Bush anything he wants. But anyway, in the meantime, ANSWER, Anti-War Coalition, is trying to organize an anti-war demonstration in D.C. And they put up signs last month. You know, signs on telephone poles and light poles, you know, around D.C., have you ever done that? I used to put up signs for rock concerts. I put up signs for yard sales. But ANSWER Coalition put up anti-war demonstration, come on, join us signs. And the city of D.C., which is run by the Congress, was threatened with a fine, the ANSWER Coalition was threatened by the city with a fine of at least $10,000 unless it removed the posters that announced the march. Now, you might think, well, Jesus Malloy, come on. I get so sick of seeing posters. I realize it's a good cause and everything, but I get sick of seeing, you know, lost dog posters and where's my bike and anti-war and, you know, it's eye pollution. Okay. In a sense, I might be able to agree with you, but the Washington City authorities said those posters had to come down because they were stuck on with adhesive that did not meet city regulations. Jesus Christ. No, 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 no. Not because they were anti-war. Not because there's some city ordinance that says no posters. But because Brian Becker and the Answer Coalition did not use the right adhesive. Oh, my God. There are city regulations as to the kind of adhesive. And please, please, if you live in D.C. and you know the intricacies of this ordinance, and there's really something to it that makes sense, don't email it to me. I don't care. Ordering posters to come down because the wrong adhesive was used is something. It's like on The Late Show with Dave Letterman. Is this something or is it nothing? This is something. Becker said, quote, at our demonstration today, we were showing the media that the paste we use conforms to the rules. They were showing that they were using the right paste to put up their posters. And the cops moved in. And some of them that moved in were dressed up in that all that black stuff with the ski masks over their faces, I guess. Tina Richards, the one whose son has served two tours in Iraq, started to put up a poster, so they arrested her. And they arrested the Vietnam vet. And they arrested the lawyer.
Make sure the world's behaving right. I don't mean to bust your groove. Think it's time we made a move. Freedom isn't free tonight. Freedom isn't free tonight.
Two most dangerous terrorist networks in this region are a group called Jamaat Islamiya, or JI.
Yeah. Or is it Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? My God. That was Chuckle Nuts again in Austria, right? At the OPEC meeting? I think it was. The folks at the National Answer Anti-War Coalition used the wrong adhesive to put up their signs promoting anti-war demonstration coming up September 15th, and the cops moved in. Unbelievable. And the people they arrested, two of them, Tina Richards, the mother of a Marine who's done two tours for this killer, and Adam Kokesh, leader of the Iraq Veterans Against the War Group. One of these days, there's going to be a triggering event that was not it, obviously. But I feel, last night I was going into my usual whine about, you know, what am I supposed to do? What are we all supposed to do? And, other than, the fourth box. And it occurred to me today that, I don't have to keep asking that question. We'll know what to do when the time is right. It'll be something that happens spontaneously. It'll be some event that is so outrageous that people, all of us, and there are millions of us who have been tamping this down for 4, 5, 6 years now, who've been saying, "Okay, Jesus, let's put Democrats in office. That'll save us." Those of us who've been saying, okay, let's wait to the 2004 election because he can't steal the second one. folks who have been saying, okay, we can hold on to 2006 and then once we get a lot of Democrats in there, everything we've tried, those of us who have, put the word out that there's going to be a peaceful a protest against the war at the federal building in downtown Atlanta on Sunday, such and such a day, and nine people show up. One of these days, there's going to be a triggering event. I just have to toss this in. Why, I don't know. I guess it's corporate America's attitude toward Mexicans or the country of Mexico. It's pretty bad. You can make the argument that corporate America's attitude towards everyone is pretty bad, and I'd agree with you. The people do not exist to corporations. They are objects as long as they are purchasing and repurchasing products. They are seen as objects that are doing some sort of good. But if they are the workers who are producing those objects, then they are not good, and there has to be a way to keep pushing wages as low as possible. And like I've said before, the ideal situation for corporations is slavery. They can't do it anymore here. Not yet. It may come back. It definitely may come back. But corporate America doesn't care about anybody on the planet, and apparently they've got some kind of an attitude here about Mexicans. Maybe this is retaliation. But Coca-Cola, that is based here in Atlanta, introduced Coca-Cola Zero. Maybe you've seen it, Coca-Cola Zero, into Mexico. It's a Mexican version of Coca-Cola Zero. They're no calorie, no carb, no anything soft drink. And what they're using to sweeten it with is a sweetener that's been banned in the United States for almost 40 years. Cyclamate, sodium cyclamate. Remember that? Remember all the fol-de-rol about cyclamate because it made rats develop cancer? Now, you know, whatever your position is on cyclamates is irrelevant here. And please, don't do it. I see some of you getting ready to send me your entire file on cyclamates and fluoride. Don't! Anytime you get an urge to send me something about this major health hazard, please don't. Restrain yourself. Either I've seen it, I'm familiar with it, or frankly, I don't care. I get these emails. I know I'm digressing again. I get these emails. People send me this stuff that they've worked 10 years putting together all this research on some ingredient in, cocoa, and it will make your ass fall off or make your children go insane by age 30. And you send me all this stuff and I sit there going, no, God, don't do this. Everybody has their issue. Work on it. Send it to your member of Congress. Don't send it to me and ask me. I got an email today that if I would have printed it out, it might have been 9, 10, 12, 40 pages long. And the emailer, bless his or her heart, who sent it to me, wanted to know if I would take a look at this and read the entire thing on the program. But I'm digressing from the digression. Oh, yeah, thank God it's Friday. You bet. So, cyclamates is now an ingredient in the Mexican version of Coca-Cola Zero, even though it's been banned here for 40 years. Now, you got to wonder, don't you? Coca-Cola knows all the cancer studies. Coca-Cola also probably knows that there are studies equally as in-depth by somebody who says, nah, that's a bunch of bat squeeze. That's like saying apricot pits cure cancer. You know, that was so 1970. Forget about it. Okay, that's fine. And then somebody else will say, but Mike, Mexico legalized cyclamates last year. Just before Coca-Cola launched the Mexican version of Coca-Cola Zero. Oh, well, no coincidence there. Now, the sweetener is legal. It's legal in more than 50 countries, including the Great White North. It's legal up there. It's legal in European Union nations. And it's legal in Mexico. So, what's the complaint? Well, the Mexican blogosphere has been talking about this. One website calls Coca-Cola Zero poison. Another accuses Coke of using sodium cyclamate in Mexico because it's cheaper. Cheaper than other sweeteners. But Rafael, in fairness here, Now let me present the other side. Rafael Fernandez, Director of Communications for Coke Mexico, said the criticism of cyclamate in Coca-Cola Zero is the result of an organized internet campaign aimed at hurting sales of Coca-Cola Zero. Has nothing to do with health concerns, has nothing to do with anything except hurting sales. Ah, so it must have been organized by, let me think, PepsiCo? Why do they hate us? Well, we never mind. And then there's this, and then we're going to do phone calls. Here's what it says. 3 years after U.S. Army Private Armando Soriano, 20, died fighting in Haditha, Iraq, his father is facing deportation from the United States. Soriano, the soldier, is now buried in Houston, Texas, his hometown, where his parents, undocumented workers from Mexico, are currently living. See, Private Soriano was legal. Parents were not. Before his death, Private Armando Soriano had promised his parents he'd help them get green cards when he came back from Iraq. He only succeeded partially before he was killed in Bush's slaughterhouse. His mother was able to obtain a green card, but his father did not qualify, because his father had gone back out to Mexico and got into something. His father didn't qualify and was on the verge of being deported. Now, this is not unusual. There are many sons and daughters who died in Iraq, the parents of whom have been deported from the United States, right? If you're an immigrant, legal or illegal, and you join the military and make it back, that gives you a fast track to citizenship. But screw your parents. Oh, no. That wasn't a deal, soldier. Nuh-uh. Official statistics show that there are more than 68,000 foreign-born military individuals serving in the U.S. Army. Military. Now, how many of these individuals have relatives who don't have a legal right to be here is not known. Figures from the National Center for Immigration Law show that 1 in 10 U.S. soldiers who have died in Iraq have been immigrants. And one estimate claims that 5% of those serving in the American military are illegal immigrants who joined with false papers. Of course, our military does not recruit illegal immigrants, but, you know, with Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld having literally destroyed our military, they'll take anybody at this point, really, felons. People who are convicted of crimes of moral turpitude, illegal immigrants, you just show up. Oh, and by the way, here's a check for $10,000. And if you make it back, your parents will be legal here. If not, we'll throw them out on their asses, even if you come back dead. We don't care. I didn't know this. The first soldier to die for the United States in the Iraq War was Marine Lance Corporal Jose Gutierrez, an illegal immigrant from Guatemala. Really? How many people know that Crispin Attucks, the first man who died in the Boston Massacre, was a black man? You didn't know that? Oh, shame on you! Ah, God. So, a Democratic congressman from Houston has introduced a bill in the House to get these folks permission to stay, but nothing's happened. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's too late now, and I know you'll never change. She said, you're just a Coca-Cola cowboy. You got an Eastwood smile and Robert Redbird hair.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Don't forget, the the gig that Jesse from TV News Lies is going to be speaking at in New York tomorrow, and I think he speaks at around 3 p.m. You can watch this on. It's going to be web streamed. So it's tomorrow and Sunday, 1 to 5 p.m., Cooper Union. That's 7th Street and 3rd Avenue. If you're in New York, check it out. If you're not, check it out on the Internet. Okay? It's about 9 minutes before the hour. Let's do a phone call before we go here for the top of the hour break. Will is calling from Michigan, listening on the Internet. Hey, Will.
Hey, Mike. Funny you should mention Adam Kokesh. I met him the day after I met you guys in person.
Is that right? Now, yeah. Just in case somebody's just joining us, he's one of the people who got busted.
No, he didn't get busted. His mother did.
I'm sorry. His mother got busted at the press conference that was held in D.C. the other day. Yeah.
Before I forget, I want to give a shout-out to the Founders Chat, Nova M Radio.
You just did.
And a lot of folks are asking you where you been, or asking me to ask you where you been.
I'm no good in chat rooms. It's too fast for me. I've got to work.
What I called to talk to you about was the surprising amount of ignorance I've noticed lately in left wing talk radio. I you're the third talk show host I've called today.
Yeah.
The other two I had to correct them on NAFTA. They were trashing Bill Clinton for signing NAFTA.
Uh-huh.
And you're the only talk show host I've ever heard correctly assert that Pappy Bush signed NAFTA.
Well, that's only because people who listen to the program sent me emails when I did say, Will, that it was one of the reasons I didn't like Bill Clinton. I didn't know. And there is all sorts of confusing info out there. Apparently what happened, this is what I was able to gather from maybe 20 or 25 different emails that sent me all sorts of research stuff. Pappy Bush signed it, but it was to be contingent on the Congress okaying it after Clinton came into office, because Clinton and Pappy Bush are co-conspirators on
right.
just about everything, especially where it concerns NAFTA. So Clinton came in, and whatever procedures they had to go through, it went through, and then Clinton signed off on the final part of it. So the argument could be made that they both signed, but the person I don't know how that stuff works. But I would not be too harsh on those talk show hosts who didn't know, because I think a lot of us really believe that Clinton was the one who did this, although it had been talked about for 20 years prior, and it was Pappy Bush who greased the wheel, so to speak. But
right.
But apparently they both did. Now, how that shakes out legally, who was really the person? I guess it would be Pappy Bush.
Well, I heard another incident I heard about. I didn't hear it. Heard about it in the chat room. They were talking about Randy Rhodes mentioning that something to the effect that if the House of Representatives doesn't pass a decent defense appropriations bill. Then the Senate can do it, and that totally goes against.
All spending. Yeah. Randy must be talking about something else, but all spending has to arise in the House.
Right.
Yeah. Now the Senate can I think the Senate can.
They can propose amendments.
Right, and they can negotiate with the House to get a final bill to go to whoever's president. But
right.
But all spending, as you know, and most of us know, has to arise in the House. Maybe maybe that's what Randy meant. I don't know. Next time I see her, I'll just walk up to her and just say, "What the hell's wrong with you?" All right. Will?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I think people need to educate themselves a little bit better
Boy,
before they open their mouths.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we all do. God knows that applies on this program. Yeah. Hey, listen, Will, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Have a good weekend. And watch out. Don't go to any press conferences where they're trying to explain the adhesive that's used to attach signs to inanimate objects in D.C. Oh, my God. Or Detroit, maybe. I don't know. Ah. Matthew is calling from Bedford, Texas. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, Mike, TGIF.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm just hanging on by my fingernails.
At least you have fingernails.
That's true.
Yeah. Before I get to my main topic, I'd just like to give a quick update on my little precinct district running thing.
Yeah, how's that coming?
It's coming. I've been doing, I don't know what you call it. I'm tempted with all this presidential crap to call it a exploratory committee, but it's not even a committee. It's just me sitting at a kitchen table with bits of paper strewn around.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Looking at various precincts around, and interestingly enough, where I'm living, there's quite a bit of a Democratic precinct. At least I know of 4 out of 9, and there's like 3 swing, I know we're using weird terms, but 3 swing precincts and a couple hardline Republicans. But
yeah, I used to date a swing precinct.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. Hey, guess what, Matthew? I've got to go. We're flat out of time here. I'd like to get you to inhale and hold on, but my producer is saying I've got to move on. We'll talk again, though. Thanks, and keep us abreast of what's happening with your campaign. Take care, Matthew. We'll be back after the break. Truth Seekers, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Thank you for your introduction. Thank you for being such a fine host for the OPEC summit. I appreciate APEC summit, you know.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. When Bush mentioned to the Australian foreign minister that he or we were kicking some ass in Iraq, I wonder if he had this in mind. Death squads from the Ministry of Interior posing as Iraqi police are killing more people than ever in the capital, emerging evidence shows. This is from two correspondents working for IPS News Service. The death toll is high in all 1,536 bodies were brought to the Baghdad morgue in September. 1,536. The health ministry announced last month that it will build 2 new morgues in Baghdad to take their capacity up to 250 bodies a day. Many fear a government hand in more killings to come. The U.S. military has revealed that the 8th Iraqi police unit was responsible for the October 1 kidnapping of 26 Sunni food factory workers in the Amil quarter in southwest Baghdad. The bodies of 10 of them were later found in the Abu Chir neighborhood in the capital. Minister for the Interior, Jawad al-Balani, announced he is suspending the police unit from official duties and confining it to base until an investigation is completed. This goes on and on. There is, we mentioned this on the air the other night. The United States military, as a result of misdirection from its civilian overlords, has been involved in ethnic cleansing on a massive scale in Iraq, and the victims of this ethnic cleansing are Sunnis, which is astonishing to me that our allies, the Saudis, and our other allies, the Kuwaitis, and our other allies, the Egyptians, and our other allies, the Jordanians, all of whom are predominantly Sunnis, are allowing this to happen. But for those of you who have been tuned to this program for a couple of years, I can remember when they sent Negroponte as a temporary ambassador to Iraq from the United States. John Negroponte, the one who organized the death squads in Central America in the 80s for Ronald Reagan, another mass murderer. And Negroponte was the American who was sent to probably to Honduras. I'm sure he operated out of the massive U.S. military base in Honduras, and had brought to him the people who had organized the squads, the death squads, in El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, and Honduras, and taught them how to kill on a massive scale. And then in 2004, was it? It was shortly after Bush decided to invade that poor country, that they sent Negroponte over again, and all of a sudden he was there, and then he was not there. He was the ambassador, and then he was not the ambassador. And shortly after his very short tenure, the death squads began to operate. We've got some people in this government, our government, who have set the United States up for a karmic cleansing that could be catastrophic when it comes. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Malloy, you don't believe any of that. No, no, no. I believe in physics. I believe in whatever it is, the second or third law of motion. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, which is pretty much explains karma on a scientific level, doesn't it? And this email, and then we're going to go back to your calls here. This is from David. Mike, I'm working late tonight. Appreciate your show. I was raised in the 70s, grew up in the 80s, and here I am, 37 years old, with a good job, great family. I have a 4-year-old son and a great wife. Apparently, I'm living the American dream, and I've never been so sad. Our nation needs a leader, David writes. We need John Kennedy or Martin or Malcolm, anyone. The downward spiral we're on as a nation is frightening, and I'm afraid that it's just too late. My generation, Gen X, the forgotten ones, where is it? Where are they? I do believe, however, that if someone would stand up and lead, my generation would follow. I'm not afraid of terrorism, and the government cannot do anything to protect me or my family, but I can. I can protect my family from the government, the biggest terrorist. Mike, it's time to march. If the Democrats won't do anything to stop the killing, then it's time to march. If Bush won't listen, it's time to march. It has to be spontaneous, and it has to be overwhelming. Our elected representatives must be made to listen and do our will as a people with a common bond, as a world with a common bond. It is time to march. From David, a former Iowan who is now lives in Washington State. Thanks, David. Back to your telephone calls. Pete is calling from Scottsdale, Arizona, listening on KPHX. Hey, Pete.
Mikey, you the man.
Yes,
you
I am.
You is the man. I just wanted to say hi and let you know. I know you're not gay, and I know I'm not gay. But
well, I don't know that if I am or not.
Well, if you were, you would definitely be my lover. There's no doubt about it. You the man. I listen, I'm just trying to stick a little humor in there, bro. That's all. You know, I don't want you to have a stress heart attack, because you sound just like me most of the time. I'm about ready to have a freaking stroke half the time with these morons out there.
Yeah.
And I just want you to be healthy and happy, because we need you out there. When I'm made emperor, you're going to get a Medal of Freedom for all this.
Oh, well, thank you. I do appreciate that, Pete.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to take up too much time of everybody else, but couple of important points. I remember back when they rebuilt the Statue of Liberty and a bunch of kids collected pennies to get that thing together.
Uh-huh.
I think you remember that.
But yes.
The point of the matter is, you know, as a rule, you know, a lot of Democrats don't have a ton of money. We're not necessarily the richest. There's a lot of rich Democrats, but most of us are just average Joes. You got a money talks and BS walks, and you got to gather together your pennies, whoever you are. I'm talking to the audience, of course. You know, and you got to just hold your nose, and the Democrats being the only viable alternative to these maggots that we have in there now, you got to hold your nose, try not to vomit, and send some money there. Because, you know, like I said, money talks and BS walks. And that's what I'm hoping for from everybody out there. And the other point I wanted to make is, in this country, people are so confused about how the world views us. It's our government they hate. It's not Americans. And I want Americans to get out. I've been very fortunate to live in Thailand, Japan, Hong Kong. I've been to Europe numerous times. I want the people, especially the younger people, if you got a couple of extra bucks in your pocket, instead of going to Daytona Beach and getting drunk for 2 weeks, you know, get your butt on a plane and travel to Azerbaijan or Georgia or Prague or Tokyo. You got to get out there, learn some languages, see the world, and understand what the world is really all about, because it is truly the only way you're going to understand what's going on with America and the rest of the world. And that's the point I wanted to make. And just to thank you for all the great work that you guys are doing. That's all.
Well, thanks, Pete. That's very kind of you. I appreciate you checking in. Take care.
All right.
All right. We'll talk again. Take care. Yeah, the idea of getting out in the world certainly is a good one. It's a little bit risky now. I used to think that they hated our government and didn't hate us. But I'm reminded of, well, granted, I was a kid, but when I was a kid growing up, even though the war was long over, World War II, we still played soldiers and we fought against the Germans. And the Germans we fought against were not necessarily German soldiers. We just hated all Germans because they had allowed and followed someone like Hitler. So, I don't know, Pete, if that's true anymore, that people of the rest of the world just hate our government. I wonder about that. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Phone calls. Maylin is calling, listening on the internet in New Jersey. Maylin, welcome to the program.
Oh, nice to talk to you, Mike. I was wanted to mention what I had seen on the internet today about the what went on in Washington. I guess it was yesterday. They were giving speeches, and the police came along, and they were trying to take their signs down, which was supposedly legal, and I didn't know whether or not this had been mentioned or not, but it just seemed so...
Maylin, I devoted a fairly good amount of time to that at the beginning of the program
tonight. I'm sorry.
No problem. You weren't tuned in an hour and 20 minutes ago, and that's when we talked about it. But, yeah, it caught my eye, too. and this sort of thing. It just continues in the
it's
age
very,
of Bush.
It's just it's very frightening to see that happen.
Absolutely. In addition to being unconstitutional.
Yes. Okay, thanks, Mike. I didn't tune in early enough to know that.
No problem. Thanks, Maylin. Appreciate you checking in. Take care. Preston is calling from Denver, listening on the Internet. Hey, Preston.
Hey, Mike. I wanted to say I'm not sure who signed the NAFTA agreement. There are certainly many sources that say Clinton was involved with that and there were signing ceremonies and so forth. But I'm sure, as you were saying, it was a group effort between administrations.
Yeah, apparently that's the case, yeah.
Yeah, and that sort of agreement is what opened the doors for companies to sell stuff like Coke Zero to Mexico and other products that are replacing some of the local indigenous products that they have themselves, whether it's fruit juices or mate tea.
Well, it was also one of the results of NAFTA was a flood of immigrants, illegal, undocumented immigrants into this country because NAFTA effectively destroyed, I mean literally destroyed, the small plot farmers in Mexico and the villages because all of a sudden they couldn't compete with agribusiness up here.
That's such a critical point. You're exactly right. A lot
If agribusiness in America is in the United States is selling, these numbers are all skewed, but I'm just saying, if we're selling corn for $10 a pound, I know it doesn't come by the pound, but if we sell it for $10 a pound and, a farmer in Mexico has to get 30 cents a pound or he's going to go broke, guess what? He goes broke.
You're right.
And he comes up here looking for work.
That's right. And a lot of the immigrants that I worked with, like when I was washing dishes at a restaurant, a lot of them were from Guatemala and Honduras and had horrific stories of, why they came to be here. And I don't know if they had papers or not, but I was glad they were here and they were able to eke out a living. I think it was the least that we owed them, a sort of war reparations. Also, NAFTA not only hurt agriculture in Mexico and other countries, it hurt their industries. They had good textile industries. They had government jobs. They had cement factories. When the peso was devalued, these private, the World Bank and the IMF came in to quote-unquote bail them out, ended up privatizing a lot of their industries, de-unionizing them, and creating a lot of job loss in urban areas as well. And Coke's a great example. I mean, not only do they create this poison, but they also, in places like Colombia, were virulently and violently anti-union.
Mm-hmm.
In places like India, Coca-Cola has been taking water from the farmers. And also there's all the demands and environmental pollution from the aluminum mining and processing to create the cans.
Mm-hmm.
These markets that are being imposed on people are completely toxic, except to corporate executives who want to privatize everything, patent everything, and essentially enclose the commons in more ways.
That's true. And where did the stories come from? Was it Nigeria? Was it Ecuador? Was it Mexico? Where Coca-Cola was, they deny this, of course, but Coca-Cola was hiring people, death squads, to kill union organizers to keep them out of the Coke plants. What country was that, or all three of them?
It was probably many countries. I know Colombia. I met a man at a Mexico peace conference whose life has been threatened several times and his family's life, but he continues. I mean, the courage is just inspiring, astounding. And, sometimes, so often we ask, what can we do? And I think your previous caller, Steve, had a great idea about people traveling and maybe working somehow in solidarity with others. And what KPHX is doing in adding another program on the weekends to address the gay civil rights struggles, that is what we do. I mean, we're going to be disappointed if we put a lot of hope in the politicians, but they have their moments. I'll give them that. But primarily, our protests and our marching in the street is going to take a lot of different forms. And I see it going on in many fields, in the media, in organic gardening and sustainable living of all kinds.
These are excellent points. And Preston, I've got to leave it there. Thank you so much for checking in, okay? I hope we talk again. Take care, Preston.
It's green pastures of plenty. from dry desert ground, from the Grand Coulee Dam where our waters run down. Every state in this union, us migrants, has been, and we'll work in this fight, and we'll fight.
Monkey Right Blues, here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. From, I was going to read this, but I guess not. Let's go back to your phone calls. We have one open line here. The number is 800-989-1480. Robbie is calling from Mesa, Arizona, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Robbie.
Hi, Mike. Hey. You know, I was listening to Fred Thompson. He announced his candidacy for president yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that the only reason he is famous is because of this law and order thing. And if people just look at what this show is about, it's about cops who force confessions. It's about DAs who make backroom deals. I mean, do people really? It disturbs me that people celebrate this and they want a person with that kind of image, especially in this day and age, to be the next president of the United States.
Yeah, well, I really believe that Fred Thompson has as much chance as I do to be president of the United States. He's a dilettante. I think he's trying to impress his friends. He's trying to impress his wife. He's got two gorgeous little kids, which is intriguing to me, since he and I are about the same age, and it appears that we have children about the same age. But this guy is going to go nowhere. He's a dilettante, and he thinks because he played someone powerful on a television program that will translate. Now, Reagan got away with it, but that was because Reagan was, Reagan had served as a governor. He had been in America's homes for 25 years as a spokesman for General Electric and then for Borax, I think. People knew Reagan. They don't know this clown. And again, this is a boutique campaign, so to speak. He's just trying to impress his friends. That's all he's doing.
What's really scary is in the Republican debate, Rudy Giuliani, he's claiming to be the real thing. I mean, that's even scarier, you know. And I wanted to make one. I'm a truck driver, and I wanted to make one point about the Mexican trucks coming into
right.
United States.
Okay.
Now, if you ever drove into Mexico, it took me 3 hours just to get out of there because I couldn't read the road signs.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's going to be the same thing going the other way, you know. If you go to New York City, you have one chance to get from where you are to the place where you're supposed to be. If you make a wrong turn,
You wind up in Pennsylvania.
And for someone that don't know English, this is a recipe for disaster.
It is,
you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this is a point that has never been raised.
There's going to be some ugliness, Robbie. There's no question. No question. Hey, listen, drive safely, and thanks for checking in, okay?
All right, thanks.
All right, take care. Brett is calling from somewhere in Ohio, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Where at in Ohio?
I'm in Canton.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've been listening to your show for a while, and I really enjoy it. But but sometimes I guess I get kind of down in the dumps because I think with listening to progressive radio and actually where the discourse and the dialogue is at, an informational level rather than just this, you know, emotional level of, mm-hmm. you know, tugging at your heartstrings through fear or whatever. And I just get down in the dumps, and I just think, man, is there really any hope for this nation? I mean, there's something every day that happens that is just ridiculous. And just the last huge thing that I was thinking of was just, you know, the truck driving industry and how they're basically going to be destroying the Teamsters, and that's going to go upon the longshoremen. I just wonder, when's there going to be a last straw? Is there going to be a last straw?
You know, I don't know. I worry about the same thing. I think historically, nations or nation states or empires all self-destruct at some point in their history. Some of them may take hundreds and hundreds of years, but eventually they do self-destruct. Some of them go quicker. If my reading of history tells me that the more empire-driven nation states are the ones that usually go belly up the quickest, because it can't be sustained. It can't be maintained. And then you come into the modern era where you have the thousand-year Reich that lasted for 4.5 years. So I sometimes think, yeah, that the United States of America in its present form is heading for a brick wall at 80 miles an hour. Now, if that's the case, then maybe something good can be constructed out of the debris. Maybe not. As far as stopping this onward rush to destruction, it's of our system. You know, a lot of people will argue, well, Malloy, it's already been destroyed. I mean, who are you kidding? There's no such thing as free enterprise anymore. There's no such thing as fair markets anymore. There's no such thing as a labor movement. Or, you know, try to get your electric bill straightened out when you're talking to somebody in Bangalore, India.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. You know, that to talk about the end of America is kind of silly because it's already over. I can't agree with that, because I grew up in the same era as like Paul Simon and the singer and a lot of his music and Paul McCartney, like a lot of people my age did. And, you know, we've got a certain worldview that is hard to give up on. It's hard to say, well, it's all over now. And I mentioned two songwriters because, you know, I'm a product of my era. Contemporary songwriters back in the day had a lot of effect on me. Sure, I read, you know, I got the formal education too. But the artists and the poets are the ones who pretty much give you a snapshot of where you are at any given time. And it's usually not colored with BS. It's not colored with political crap. It's usually pretty straightforward. Poets and artists and madmen. And so I don't know. I think about this a lot, as you obviously do, Brett. I don't know. I can't come to any conclusions. I'm hoping against hope that we pull out of this. But the way things are going, well, you know.
Yeah.
It is difficult. I guess the one thing is for people like you and me is just don't give up the hope. You know, just don't give up the hope.
It's tough. I mean, I listen to people like Tom Hartman, and he said, you know, it's been worse than this before. We went through a civil war, and then, you know, with John Adams and the Alien Sedition Act, and he says, you know, to get out and get active, and I think, okay, I can do some things here and there, but it just, you know, it goes back to that same thing of I'm just one person, and I look at my friends, and some of them are upset, and some of them think everything's fine, but, I mean, the ones who are upset, I mean, they're too busy working all the time to pay their bills, you know, and sure, taking care of their kids. I mean, they don't have any time to do that. And I've got a 9-month-old little girl, and I'm worried about taking care of her. And it's just like, you know, and there's millions of people out there like me, and it's just getting things eroded every single day.
Well, I've got to hold on to the hope, because like you, I have a young kid, and, you know, I don't know what to, and grandchildren, I don't know what to pass on to these youngsters if not hope. As far as, you know, Tom Hartman's approach, that's a good one. You know, he comes from an historical truth that we've gotten through bad times before. I think the difference is we came through a depression because we had leadership in this country that brought us through a depression and put in place government agencies that were designed to help. A cynic would say, well, what really got us out was World War II. I just can't go that far. I think there were decent people. We don't have decent people in government anymore. As far as all the tragedies that this country has come through, there was always an interest in the so-called common man. That would be people like me or people like you, you know, the working class, the middle class. And that interest is gone now. It may have been happening, but we weren't aware that global warming, global climate change is the big monster that we have to deal with now. And of course, nuclear weapons. So when Tom Hartman's right, to a huge extent that we've come through bad times before and things change and you adopt new tactics and strategies. But what leaves me feeling sometimes struggling to maintain hope is the enormity of some of these problems. This is not. You know, this is not a civil war, as bad as that was. Hundreds of thousands of people, Americans slaughtering each other, as bad as that was. This has a potential to be that to the fourth power. So it's a matter of scope and degree, and that's the part that worries me. But you know, the bottom line for me, Brett, and I'm sure it is for you, because you got a young kid, is just keep your hope alive, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
I'm glad you checked in, pal. Take care.
Take care. I want to build more bombs than I can fit. Somewhere I can even spell the name of. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American
As John Howard accurately noted when he went to thank the Austrian troops there last year, we're giving this young democracy the chance.
Stupid man. 10 before the hour, here's an email from Alicia. Brett, if you're still listening, this may apply to what you were saying. Alicia writes, "Hi, Mike. Yesterday at work, I was talking to a progressive friend of mine, and she was frustrated at the lack of Democratic spine. We had such hopes after the 2006 midterms, and then Bupkis, nada, zip, zilch. Yes, sir, Massa. How can we further your agenda, sir?" I get frustrated, too, Alicia writes. "It seems as though no one is going to stop this runaway train of disaster, but I'll be damned if I'm going to allow these people to determine what I do or say. They can only have that power if I hand it to them, and this is what I wrote to my friend today. It gets really frustrating when they're confronted with this, when we are confronted with this appalling apathy in the sense that nothing's going to change because everyone's standing around with their fingers in their ears going, la, 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 I'm not listening. Do you like my new car? La, 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 la. I know you're someone who walks the talk, and it's very disheartening to think that most people aren't even aware of the problem we're facing, much less willing to cowboy up and do something about it. But something else I realize is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we get the results we want from our activism. It only matters that it's right, that we stand up for what's right. Whether we have popular support doesn't matter. Whether things change on the schedule we want doesn't matter. Whether things change at all doesn't matter. What matters is that we do what's right. It's right to end the invasion. It's right to get these crooks out of office. It's right to stand up for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It's right to put people before corporations and to take care of those who need it. It only matters that we stand up individually for what's right. If we only take action if we know we'll get our way, if we get a good feeling and validation out of doing what we do, then that's not real activism. We have to search our hearts and consciences and decide what's right and then stand up for it. Nothing else matters. So, stay strong. And let's keep fighting the good fight. I believe that we will prevail if we do. But if we don't, that's no excuse to quit. That just means we need to do it more. Alicia. Well, that's good. That's certainly what... I think that that's certainly what I was trying to say and just couldn't do it like that. So, thanks, Alicia. Dave is calling from Coconut Grove, Florida, listening on WINZ. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Nice to talk with you.
My pleasure.
All these people that are calling and telling you, they're all saying good things, but they have no method of going about changing anything. I don't believe in any of the politicians. I have no respect for any of them. I don't care which Republicans, Democrats, don't make a difference. I have no respect for any of them. But what I thought would be the last straw were these Mexican trucks coming over. I remember the Teamsters being a strong union, and if something went wrong, they were all acted as a group. Mm-hmm. I figured they would be out on the roads like the French did when something happened to them.
Sure.
They would be out blocking, and we need something like that to start the people to get out.
We've talked about it before. I don't know how many, when I worked at CNN, how many times I covered a French trucker's strike because they were pissed off about something, and they brought the entire country to a standstill until the government listened and usually granted what the truckers wanted.
That's what we need, something to start it. The people just don't seem, and some of the talk show hosts like Randy Rose, I love her, she's great. But she's losing her way also. She's saying now there's nothing they can do. But there is something you can do. You can cut the funds off. I don't care if it takes a month or 2 months of saying no.
I know.
Until there's no funds.
No, I understand what you're saying. I don't want to defend Randy. She's more than capable of doing that herself. But I'll tell you this. People like Randy, people like me who spend, and Hartman and so many people who do this for a living, we're immersed in this crap all day long if we're going to put on a fairly decent program. That's why I live for the weekends. And I think Randy, like me, like Hartman, like Bill Press, like, I don't know, whoever, just, you know, pick a name that's a liberal talk show host. It's a bit overwhelming when you take a look at the people you counted on who have the power to do something, and that was the Democrats that we all busted our asses for when I worked at Air
America. There was no
comeback. When I worked at Air America, part of the reason for Air America was to launch a network that would work its ass off to try to get real Democrats into power in 2006, and to a certain extent we succeeded. But what are those Democrats doing?
Nothing. They're just
right.
Sitting there. They're
right.
Afraid to open their mouth. It's like somebody cut them off at the knees.
I know. That's the part I don't understand. But I do understand Randy Rhodes' frustration. So, you know, I feel too.
My idea was if the truckers were out there stopping and the people would get out there, would be the first step. The second step would be to make them enforce the laws. We don't need any fences. I'm not against the Mexican people.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand what they want. They want to have a job to support that. And I believe we did destroy their
we set this up. You know, this up, and then we sit around like a bunch of crybabies when the Mexicans come north to find work because of what we did to their economy. I mean, Jesus.
We have to correct what we have to correct in this country. You know, the minimum wage in England is $10 an hour. The minimum wage in France is $12 an hour. The minimum wage here in this country went up a big 50 cents. And hoorah! Big 50 cents.
I know.
And they're harping on that. Oh, we did something great. What did they do?
I hear you. Dave, I got to leave it there. Thank you, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Take care. Have a safe weekend, David. We'll be back after the break, y'all. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
like a bird on a wire, like a drum in a midnight choir. I have tried in my way to be free. Like a fish on a horse, like a knife from an old-fashioned book. I have saved all my ribbons for thee.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. All right, before we go back to your calls, got a link here to Iraq Today blogspot. It's actually warnewstoday.blogspot.com, but this is the Iraq Today section. And they had some photos here, an explanation. The photos, here's what it's about. The anti-oil law, this is from today, September 7th, the anti-oil law front, that's a group in Iraq that does not want to see Bush and the American oil companies take over their resources, their oil. Yeah, you don't want to see that, huh? Okay. So there is an organization in Iraq, the anti-oil law front. They staged a demonstration in the center of Baghdad today under Liberty Monument. They staged this demonstration in a place that's now called Liberation Square. I would imagine that was the square that had the statue of Saddam that was toppled before a crowd of tens and tens of people who were bussed in and cheered their hearts out. Remember that? Anyway, back to the report. The demonstrators raised slogans in English and Arabic denouncing the oil law, and chanted against the U.S. administration and its appointed government. The U.S. forces surrounded the rally for half an hour and took pictures of the demonstrators who carried the banners. They also blocked the traffic to prevent people joining the demonstration in an attempt to spread terror among whoever intends to join the rally. The area was filled with hundreds of police and National Guard, of whom dozens sympathized with the demonstrators and the cause. Also, dozens of Arab, foreign, and domestic media broadcasted the event live and conducted interviews with the leaders of the demonstration. The event has involved many speeches by Sufi al-Badri, president of the front, and chairman of IFC Executive Bureau, Sami Hassan, political bureau member of the Worker Communist Party of Iraq, and Falah Maktouf, Secretary of Federation of Workers, Councils, and Unions in Iraq. That was a mouthful. You try it. The demonstrators raised banners with slogans saying, "Down with the oil law," "The oil law is the law of occupation," "26 million people reject the law of occupation," and so forth. The demonstration comes as part of the campaign launched by the anti-oil law front, which is comprised of sit-in strikes, conferences, and gatherings. This was from the Iraqi Freedom Congress, dated the 7th. U.S. troops surrounded the demonstrators and took pictures. Where do you suppose those pictures are going to wind up? Here are people demonstrating in favor of maintaining control over their own natural resources in the face of an occupying army and a puppet government. So to whom do you suppose the photographs taken by the U.S. military will be turned over? Well, you don't have to answer out loud or send me an email or call in. You know who's going to get those photographs. The people that were trained by John Negroponte. Stand in the way. You know what? I guess the one thing, and I'm ashamed to say this, because it sounds like I'm eliminating the human cost of this war and occupation on both sides. And I'm not. But one of the things, let me rephrase it, one of the things that infuriates me is how clear the anti-war movement, the global anti-war movement, was before this filthy invasion about the fact that it was about oil. The signs that were, you could see them in Japan, in Europe, in Brazil, in the United States, the signs that said, carried by the demonstrators, that said, no blood for oil. And the ridiculous, asinine denials by members of the Bush crime family and the Blair crime family that this was not about oil. No, no. No, no. And finally, the Brits have a prime minister who's apparently said enough of this madness and is pulling the troops out, the British troops out. But one of the things, like I started to say, that just infuriates me, if I allow myself to think about it, is the realization, if that's what it is, that all of us, and there were millions of us globally who could see this, is clearly, as you can see, this stumbling fool when he opens his mouth in Australia and calls them Austrians, could see that it was nothing more than a resource grab. The rawest form of imperialist aggression, an invasion that's right up there with any country who has ever looked across the steppes or the ocean or whatever and said to themselves, oh God, those people have wheat. We don't have wheat. Let's go take it. That's all this was. And to cloak it in phraseology and terminology of democracy and freedom and establishing a beachhead for democracy in the sad Islamic Middle East. You dirty sons of bitches, if you want to, you neocons, you want to establish democracy, we've said this 100 times, start in Saudi Arabia or Kuwait or Jordan or Egypt or Syria. And if you want real democracy, when you're finished with all them, then stop in and see your buddies in Israel, because they could use a hand or two also with their apartheid and the refusal to allow people who live there to be citizens in their own country. You want to start democracy? You don't have to start with Iraq. Start with Saudi Arabia and work your way around the square. Then maybe you will have done something about democracy in the Middle East. Oh, sure. Right. But it infuriates me. Now the resistance. Leave your hands off our oil. And there are the American troops. Or mercenaries. Who knows anymore? Taking pictures of people in their own country, in a place in their own country, in the capital of their own country, in a place called Liberation Square, in the capital of their own country, facing an occupying army and a puppet government, saying the oil law is not something we want. Leave us alone. And we take pictures. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if when the United States liberated, and not the United States, but the Allies liberated Paris in World War II, if we would have been propping up the Vichy French and started taking pictures of the people in the French resistance to turn over to the fleeing Nazis to say to them, oh, on your way out, do you want to kill some of these folks? So who do you suppose are going to get the pictures of the Iraqis who are standing on their own territory, in their own country, in the capital of their own nation, trying to resist one aspect of what is being forced on them by an occupying superpower and its puppet government? Jesus, God, that's what we've become. That's what we've become. I have a hard time with that, you know? I mean, isn't that the same as pillaging, looting, burning, and raping? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I guess it is.
It does not know, because knowledge itself. How to Know God, page 130.
They brainwashed my great uncle, brainwashed my cousin Bob.
She was working for the mob. Brainwash you while you're sleeping, while in your traffic jam. Brainwash you while you're weeping, while still a baby in your prime. Brainwashed by the military, brainwashed under duress. Brainwashed by the media, yeah. Brainwashed by the press. Brainwashed by computer, brainwashed by mobile phone. Brainwashed by the satellite, brainwashed to the bone.
Left out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. I did it again tonight. I was watching NBC Nightly News, and all of a sudden I see this story where the video of all these religious leaders making their way to this huge iceberg in Greenland. And of course that caught my attention. What the hell? And they're all in a boat and or on an island or something. They were invited there by the spiritual leader of Orthodox Christians, the Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox. And they included Christian, Shia, Sunni, Hindu, Shinto, Buddhist, and Jewish religious leaders. They took a boat to the tongue of this glacier for a silent prayer for the planet. Holy cow. We're shaking bones at the monster now? Is that what we're doing? All due respect, preachers and ministers and priests and holy men, it ain't going to work. It really isn't. It's not going to work at all. You can shake your bones all day long. You can chant. I don't care what kind of a chant you use. Use Aum. That's been effective, I guess. But it's not going to work. You know what will work? An immediate reversal of what we are dumping into the atmosphere. So, you know, the Buddhists need to go back to China and the Jews to the Middle East and the Christians to practically everywhere. The Hindus to India. The Shintos go back to Japan. And gather up your religious people and sit in front of your parliaments and your government offices until they order you to move. And then if you're really committed, set yourselves on fire. That's what the Buddhist monks did in Saigon, remember? Nah. Who remembers that crap? The Guardian reports that the Greenland ice cap is melting so quickly, and this is what was on NBC tonight, which really gets me. NBC, owned by General Electric. General Electric, arguably in the top five corporations in America that for the past 100 years has contributed to global warming. Global climate change, the melting of the polar ice cap, so it's on, or the Arctic ice sheet, so it's on NBC News tonight. Oh my God, we are so beyond irony as to render all of us just naifs. I mean, we just stand here and look at ourselves with our fingers in our noses going, God, damn, did you see what was on NBC tonight? Incredible. Anyway, the Guardian reports the Greenland ice cap is melting so quickly that it's triggering earthquakes as pieces of ice several cubic kilometers in size break off. Scientists monitoring events this summer say the acceleration could be catastrophic in terms of sea level rise and make predictions that were offered this past February by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change far too low. The glacier... Ilulissat, which supposedly spawned the iceberg that sank the Titanic, is now flowing three times faster into the sea than it was 10 years ago. The chairman of the Arctic Climate Impact Assessment said at the glacier yesterday, quote, we have seen a massive acceleration of the speed with which these glaciers are moving into the sea. The ice is moving at 2 meters an hour on a front 3 miles long and 1,500 meters deep. That means that this one glacier puts enough fresh water into the sea in 1 year to provide drinking water for a city the size of London for a year. And it goes on, if you saw this thing, they had some incredible video of gigantic holes in the glacier, taken obviously by airborne photographers, through which these swirling masses of meltwater were falling. It's really stunning to see this stuff. And that's one of the reasons when the lights go out, I'm going to track down Rush Limbaugh, and he and I are going to have a cup of coffee together. Because like I've said before, imagine if 15 years ago when Limbaugh and his piggish imitators had not gone to work wholesale, full barrel, full bore for the energy corporations, the coal mining companies and the oil companies and General Electric and the nuclear industry and all of them and hadn't or had come out and said, look, we're conservatives. And conservatives, by definition, mean we like to conserve things, whether it's our freedom or our money that would go to taxes or our planet. So we are hereby declaring a united front against what is roiling over the event horizon like a monster, global warming. But, of course, that didn't happen, did it? Nah. Rush and his pigs got out there and told America and anyone else who'd listen that it was all liberal plot put together by the PETA or somebody. I don't know, some environmental wackos, right? Isn't that when the term environmental wacko first entered into America's hip vocabulary from the pig man? Yeah, environmental wackos, there's no global warming. What the hell are you talking about? Jesus, God.
We can build roads of ice that literally melt away when summer comes.
Before the hour, that song reminds me that it makes me think I need surgery. According to Kathy, when I was in Chicago waiting at the University of Chicago Medical Center to have my thyroid taken out, they had given me Valium IV, which is just Jesus wonderful. And I decided to sing that song in the operating theater holding room. So whenever I hear that now, I think, is it time for surgery? All right, back to your phone calls. Jeff is calling from Hollywood, Florida, listening on WINZ. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Oh, it's great to talk to you, man.
My pleasure.
My pleasure all these years here. I wanted to use a visual metaphor for Giuliani.
Okay.
Okay. You remember Pulp Fiction?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You remember The Cleaner?
Yes, I love that movie, especially The Cleaner.
Oh, Harvey Keitel.
Oh, my God.
And he was risque, too, in several other movies with his hoo-ha-ha.
You're right.
But Giuliani's nothing but a cleaner. Okay,
he's an accessory after the fact. You think he's got that much talent?
Did he move the steel?
Somebody did.
Was he in charge?
That's under question right now. The New York firefighters say he wasn't.
He was in charge of the New York firefighters are saying he wasn't in charge of moving the steel out of the Trade Center.
Well, I guess that part, sure. I guess he can get credit for that. I'm just thinking of the character that you're referring to. how he could look at a situation, a horrible situation, somebody's head been blown off in a car, and clean it all up and make everything work before the wife came home from her nursing job.
Yes, but remember, he also, after he found the gold, he started putting firefighters in dumps. So he is a ghoul.
Right. Well, I guess that's what I'm referring to. I like your comparison to Harvey Keitel, but I just don't see him as the cleaner of Giuliani. My take on Giuliani is, like a lot of Republicans, this guy's out of his mind. He's just completely out of his mind. I don't even know how good his record was as a federal prosecutor. I guess it was okay. I guess he attacked a lot of organized crime.
He started the drug war.
He started it?
Yes, with Nixon and after that, he's in the loop.
Oh God,
this guy.
Well,
all right, he started all that rights. They started with your rights eroding away with the drug war first, and then it just continued to domino.
I look at all the Republican candidates, every single one of them, and I see absolutely nothing. Unless you want to slice and dice, if you want to slice up Ron Paul and a couple of things that are in there.
Saute or what?
Huh?
Saute him?
Yeah, well, no, a couple of things you slice out of his overall approach to you know, what his plan is if he were president, you can find a couple of things to agree with. But Ron Paul is a libertarian, and I don't know why people don't understand that. He ran as a Republican. He was the libertarian candidate for president.
Because they're eroding the Constitution, and these people are so freaked. They hear somebody, I'm going to fight the Constitution. And then they grab onto it.
Well, true, but I don't know why people don't understand Ron Paul's history or the Libertarian Party history in this country. The Libertarians, one of the first things he would do was just privatize everything. Libertarians don't believe that the government of the United States has any function other than to protect us from an invading force. As far as regulations are concerned, as far as Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, EPA, all that stuff would be gone.
Well, bring them on the show and eat them up like the old guy.
Well, no, like I say, Ron Paul is just trying to put people in the trick bag. He is a libertarian. He got elected as a Republican from Texas, a member of Congress, and he has as much chance of being president as I do. So the point I was trying to make, though, I don't see anything from any of the Republicans. Giuliani, Mitt Romney just makes my skin crawl. I mean, that guy just freaks me out.
He is scary.
Oh, my God. Talk about a Breck girl.
He is.
He's just smarmy.
Not three times.
You know, somebody could walk up to him and say, yeah, rotting corpses, death, destruction, maggots eating babies. And he would look at them and go, yeah, well, you know, I really do appreciate you coming out today.
He'd want more of it.
Oh,
just
God.
Like he said, two Guantanamos. It's absolutely insane. Can I just get a quick comment in? And
sure,
I
go ahead.
Really
go,
appreciate
go,
you talking to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Farias, bring your bass to the gig, man. Let's do the wall. Okay?
Whatever that
do
means.
Do the wall live. Let's do it where Eddie Vedder was cut off, and let's show these people we're going to do it, and no one's going to mess with it.
Okay. All right. Sounds good to me. Thank you, Jeff. Take care. Keith is calling from Virginia, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Keith.
Hey. I did have a comment about Mexican truck drivers and
sure.
the cops. Something the religious right has been doing.
Okay.
First thing about the truck drivers, touch on it real quick. Been to Laredo, seen how they drive. They have very, very little, if any, regard for traffic laws. In Laredo, there are perfectly functioning four-way intersection lights, but they still have to have cops out there doing hand signals. If they weren't there, they'd be running red lights and making illegal left turns and everything else that just really screws up traffic.
Yeah.
So we're going to see that in every city in America now, Mexican truck drivers start coming over. My other point was, it wasn't on your show, unfortunately. It was on Thorne Hartman's show. He made a quote from Matthew, and what he was quoting was, the apostles asked Jesus, what does it take to get into heaven? And Jesus said, If you fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked,
right?
Visited me while I was in jail. You're familiar with the quote. Basically, that turned around my whole view on religion. Because for a long time, I'm a critical thinker.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it, that evolution is the way things happen. I believe the Earth is, billions of years old. And for a long time, what the religious right has been doing has been putting out a message that if you don't believe, in Adam and Eve, and if you don't believe that gay marriage is wrong, then you are not a religious person, you are an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is wrong, because I heard that quote and I thought back on my actions through my life, and I thought, I've fed the hungry, I've helped the sick, I spent 2 years as a nurse,
Uh-huh.
I haven't visited anyone in jail. Opportunity hasn't presented itself. Don't know anyone, but I'll hop on that. And I've given clothes to charity. So apparently, according to Jesus, I'm just fine, whether I believe in evolution or not. And I think it's really wrong what this religious right wing has been doing, saying, if you aren't with us, you're going to hell.
Right. I agree with what you're saying. But, Keith, keep this in mind. Humanistic approach to life would tell you the same thing. No one needs a religious dogma to tell them to, feed the hungry and clothe the naked and take care of the sick and visit the those in prison.
You're absolutely right.
Humanists, atheists have been saying this forever, and without you having to barter your soul, whatever that is, to do it. There's something I think people need to remember. I've stole it from the Moody Blues, but keep this in mind. There's no price on your head, pal. You don't have to do anything for redemption. You were not born in sin. You are not a sinner who has fallen short of the grace of God. None of that is true. You are a living organism. You are born, you live your life, and then you end. It's that simple. Now, if there's any magic involved here, it's in how you live your life. Do you tend to the sick? Do you take care of the poor? Jesus was a humanist. He was an absolute humanistic approach to life, a very real approach to life, if you want to look at it that way. But you don't need a religious framework in order to be a moral human being. As a matter of fact, you can make the argument that you have a much better chance of being a moral, ethical human being if you do not have a religious framework. So keep that in mind. You can find, I think, in any religion, certain thoughts, certain sentences that were said by Jesus or the Buddha or Moses or Kalki or Vishnu or whomever. But you can find that also from humanists and secularists and people who said, look, you're only going to be here a short period of time. Do it right. I got to leave it there. Thanks, Keith. I appreciate you checking in. Drive safe, man. Take care.
In my fatigues, black jacket and army boots, my neck is red, my collar blue, I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me, I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side, I'm on the right side.
About 10 before the hour, Thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program at KPHX in Phoenix, also answered your calls. And remember, if you're in the Phoenix area, or if you're not, make sure you tune in to Equality Arizona, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning on KPHX, and you will hear Ian himself. Let's see, hosting or co-hosting? Co-hosting? We'll be able to say we knew him when, right? Also, thanks to Billy Foster, our moderator at the NovaMradio.com chat room. I'm sorry, folks, I haven't been in there for a while, but I am just way too right-brained to do that. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Thanks, Chris. Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Back to your phone calls here. Lou is calling from Fort Drum, Florida, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Lou.
Hey, what's going on?
You are.
Before I get to what I was calling about, I remembered that 2 days ago would have been the 60th birthday of Freddie Mercury, and that just is so unbelievable. And it's like, you think about Ronald Reagan did nothing to mention AIDS until his son shows up wearing tights or whatever it was. Oh, my God.
You've been holding on for an hour to tell me that?
Well, that and much, much less. I mean, more.
Right.
But
Freddie Mercury would have been how old?
60 years old, sir.
Oh, my God.
Well, Brian May's 60 and Roger Taylor's 59. I mean,
yeah, but they're not Freddie Mercury.
Well, I love their solo material. They've done great stuff, and I saw them live as Queen and Paul Rogers, and that was the best show I've ever seen.
Hey, Queen was one of the best groups ever in the history of glam rock.
Thank you.
Queen is
so
right up there.
People just don't appreciate that band.
No, they don't. They don't. And
Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, Beatles, they should be right up there, and they're not. But it's like music's one of the few things that keeps me from just running through the mall with an AK, just rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat. But I'm thinking about how people, you know, you can't get the average American to put down their goddamn iPhone for 2 seconds or to turn off American Idol. Well, there was a site I saw, and I think it was the general strike for this anniversary of September 11th.
Yeah.
Just do nothing.
Do nothing.
How hard is that? Don't buy anything. Don't go to school. Don't go to work. Nothing.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I started talking about that also, I don't know, a couple of months ago. People say, well, I don't have time to do anything, and I can understand that. I don't have the energy to, you know, meet at place A and get on a bus and go to place B, and I understand that. And my answer to that was, you know, in a flash of obvious extraterrestrial brilliance, you know, don't do anything.
Exactly.
Just stop. Just sit down. Lie down. Go to sleep. Just don't do anything. And bring the monster. At least you get the monster's attention.
Right. And so, there was somebody sent me an article. There's a martial law exercise going on next month, October next month. And I thought, oh, my God.
An exercise.
An exercise, just like they had a 9/11 exercise on 9/11, and just like the 7/7 exercise in London. And wasn't Rudy at both of those? I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, a lot of coincidences, strangely enough.
Well, you know the word coincidence. If you break it down, all it is co-incident.
It sure is. We got spy satellites spying on us. Hey, no big deal. We've got the North American driver's license coming out. Big deal. We got protests messed up in Iraq and the one in Kansas City. Hey, who cares? You know, I got to sit here and watch the next episode.
Well, Lou, let me assure you that anybody who is or was as tuned into Freddie Mercury as you are or were, there is redemption. Thanks, pal.
I'll tell you, whenever it goes down, I've got the extra clip, and I got your back, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Lou. I appreciate it. Alex is calling from Scottsdale, Arizona, listening on KPHX. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Mike. I got 20 million different things going on, but I'll try and make it short. Did you catch Dennis Miller on Late Night?
I did not. Dennis Miller?
Yes, he had him on because he was talking about his new talk radio show where he has gone from the epitome of comedy and having his own TV show to now he does talk radio for 3 hours and he can put his mind out there.
Oh, I don't know what happened to Dennis Miller. I think he took the blue pill and he hasn't been the same since.
Oh, no, he hasn't because Jay was just sitting there going, okay, uh-huh. I mean, Jay was at a loss for words because he's known the guy for 30 years.
Right, right.
And he's going, well, don't you feel safe? Should we thank the American military and George Bush for, you know, we haven't had terrorist attack since 9/11. Well,
we
what happened in the past 200 years?
Yeah, we haven't been invaded by leprechauns either.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, come on. And then he talks about Imajidan, which he can't even say his last name anyways. And he goes, well, maybe we should have a CSI crew after he gets shot in his white suit and we can play out the blood splatter scene. I mean, he's coming off the lip, and everybody in Jay's audience is like going, like I'm saying right now,
Were they groaning?
They were like, it was like an ugh. There was like a big, like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Where's this guy coming from?
I know. I don't know how Leno's audience was able to applaud and put up with this.
Well, they didn't do nothing. They didn't applaud. They didn't say nothing.
No, I'm talking about Fred Thompson's announcement the other night.
Oh, like, Fred Thompson.
Who cares? Who cares if Fred Thompson wants to run a boutique presidential campaign so he can say to his friends, well, I'm running for president now. I was a senator from Tennessee.
Well, you remember the epitome words of Richard M. Milhouse Nixon, don't you?
Which ones?
The four-letter word previous to he's a dumb idiot.
Oh,
he's
yes, I do remember that.
Idiot.
Yes.
Yeah. If anybody even wants to go, he goes, he's trying to be one of us, and he's sucking up to us, and he's telling before he's going to screw us, he's going to screw us.
Yeah, well, that's, I guess maybe that's a positive thing. Alex, I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal. Take care.
Good work.
All right, behave yourself. Thanks, everybody, for participating tonight and all this week. I do appreciate it. Tell your friends. It's the Molloy Show on Nova M Radio. Take care, all right? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M Radio. Straight to hell. Just like my mama said. Oh, yeah. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.